the moment. And we're doing this talk called Joyful in Hope. And there it is, Joyful in Hope, in case you didn't get the message. And this is church number 20. Yeah, we've been to 20 churches. Not all on the same day, you'll be glad to know, but over a period of weeks or months. And we're here today at church number 20. We've done all the way, gone all the way around the borough, I think, and which is really interesting. Oh, I've got to turn this thing on, haven't I? That's better. And yeah, so hope. Oh, there, here we are. Here's a verse. I thought it'd be really good to say together. Is that all right? And it's found in Romans 15, verse 13. And it says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We love this verse. It's our kind of keynote verse. And it's interesting because it's kind of like a prayer and an expectation all wrapped into one. It's prayer. May the God. So he's saying, may the God of hope fill you. And it's also got a kind of a twist in a way. So let's say it together. And then we'll just unpack it just for a moment. It's not going to take long. And because I want you to go away with this verse today. Are you ready? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You notice some key little words in that text. May the God of hope. So he's the God of hope. He's the source, right? Fill you. Fill you. Not like just give you a little portion. Just eke it out so you just get enough. Fill you. The expectation is that God is a God who fills. He doesn't just, he's not stingy. He's liberal and generous and abundant. And he fills us with all joy and peace. All joy and peace. Not just bits, half measures, all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow. He wants us to be a people who have not just enough for us to survive, but have so much that we give away. Yeah? We overflow with hope. So when we meet people, we can actually say to them, can I pray for you? Because I believe in a God who can do something for you. I believe he's blessed me and he can do the same for you. He can. There's an overflow. There's an expectation that God is on the lookout for doing good things to people everywhere, isn't he? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So one more time, say it together and speak to your heart as you say it today. And so you say, my heart, I need you to know this because this is a good God. And he's for me. You ready? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace.
As you trust in him, so that he may overflow
with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have an anchor here. Does anyone know the connection between an anchor and hope? Go on, tell us. It's a pub. Well done. Anchor in Hope. The name of a pub in Bexley. We are so on it today, I tell you. That's absolutely true. But there is actually a deeper, better reason why an anchor has something to do with hope. And does anyone know the verse from the Bible? Who can tell me at least part of it? He kind of knows. He kind of knows. He was on it, weren't you, Dave? You know this perfectly well. Somebody said it over here. Yeah, this hope is an anchor for your soul, sure and steadfast, or safe and secure, as the verse has it. I think I may have it on here. Have I got it? No. I thought I had it. No, I haven't got it, but never mind. Okay. So this is like, I mean, an anchor is something that's really, really helpful, isn't it? Because it kind of keeps you moored, keeps you stable. If you come into the harbour and you don't want to go out of the harbour and sail away again, and drift off, you throw the anchor overboard and it goes down deep into the ocean finds the ocean floor, the bed, the soil, the rock down there, and it wedges itself in. And so that by the chain, which is still attached to the boat might move around a little bit, but of course it doesn't move very far, does it? It stays rooted to the ocean floor. And so it's like an anchor. So Paul, he says, if it was Paul who wrote Hebrews, I'm not sure it was, but anyway, some argument about that. But this guy, he says that our hope is like an anchor for the soul, safe and secure. So when you've got the anchor down, it's kind of, you're not going to go very far. You know, you feel kind of anchored. You feel safe. Well, God's promises are like that. God's word to us is like, we can be sure and certain because God says it. And our hope isn't in something that's fanciful. We don't use the word hope kind of like, let's just hope that it's going to be all right, in the sense of hope being a wishful thought. You know, we hope you recover, and that I'm kind of like willing you on. I want it to happen for you, but I'm not totally sure it will. It's not like that. Our hope is something that's really fixed and settled because God says he will do it. He will look after us. He will save us. He will forgive us. He will heal us. He will provide for us. God says it. Right? So you don't need to think, I think it's going to be all right. I think I'm going to go to heaven. I think I'm going to be okay for this year. I think God's going to provide for me in the future. No, we can know for certain that God never, ever breaks a promise. So it's like hope is real. It's like the anchor. So our hope is in Jesus. He went up. He didn't go down. He went up, didn't he? So we've got an anchor. It's like hope in Jesus. And he's up in God's right hand. And he's been resurrected. He's beaten our worst enemy. He overcame everything, didn't he? He has the power, right? So we know where our hope is. It's in Jesus. He's the keeper of God's promises. And he delivers every time. So now we've been around the borough talking about this theme called Joyful in Hope because, we've got a few reasons. First of all, because we are anticipating as a Cribs team that good things are still to come. That God is going to do something significant in our borough for thousands and thousands of children and families because we are sowing God's word into their lives. And we believe that actually good things are going to come from that. You can't keep it down. You can't keep it contained because God's word is like a seed and it's powerful. You know how seeds have a habit of coming up, don't they? The shoots appear in the middle of concrete. You've seen those pictures? You know, it's like when you've got this path and you've dug out all the weeds and you think, oh, that's brilliant. It's all weed free. And then weeks later, out they come. Because actually, growth happens. Even though you might try everything to concrete over and keep it down, growth happens. And so it is with the word of God planted into life. So we are expecting good things. And we hope that as we go around the borough and talk to different churches and tell them about hope, that they will be joyful in hope. Now, my friend Simon's written a poem. And he's going to perform it to us. Now, boys and girls, mums and dads, grandmas and granddads today, you've got to try and work out what's the story in the Bible that this poem is based on. Okay, you all ears. And it's good. So this is Simon performing one last time, maybe not, his poem about hope.
Is that on? All right, good. Shove that in there. When I woke up that morning, it seemed like any other day. But friends, I can tell you it sure didn't end that way. See, I had a business meeting in a town not far from here, and I, I had a hearty breakfast and I gathered up my gear. But then an unexpected family matter meant I had to wait. So by the time I hit the road, I was a half an hour late. I left my eldest sorting things. I knew that she could cope. But as for getting there on time, well, I didn't have a hope. Now, as for being punctual, I didn't have a hope. So I've been walking for an hour or so in a hot and blazing sun, and the sweat was trickling down my back, which wasn't too much fun. I raised my flask of water and I took myself a swig, and in that silent moment, heard the snapping of a twig. I looked around and there they were, a violent gang of three. They were young and hard and mean, and things did not look good to me. Two were holding wooden clubs, one brandishing a rope. I thought, could I outrun them? But I didn't have a hope. Yeah, I wondered, could I get away? I didn't have a hope. Whoa, they didn't give me any chances given what I had. They just started with the clubbing and they beat me pretty bad. They smashed me to the ground and then they kicked me in the head. They stripped me, then they whipped me and they left me nearly dead. They didn't leave me anything, took all I had to give. They just left me there in agony to wonder if I'd live. And the chance of my survival, well, there didn't seem much scope, for my broken body told me that I didn't have a hope. And my broken bones were saying that I didn't have a hope. So I lay there in the dust and sun, blood drying on my skin, and all I could feel inside was a longing for my kin. Then with face so bruised and swollen that my eyes could barely see, I saw a man in priestly robes across the road from me. He didn't pause to have a closer look nor linger for a chat. I watched him quickly scurry off and thought, well, that was that. Then later on another came, an agent of the law, who was totally untroubled by this wreckage on the floor. Then I thought my life is over, and that death would not be long, and I sank into a darkness, thinking all of hope is gone. And I descended into darkness, thinking all of hope is gone. I dreamt that all was black and I was freezing to the bone. I was railing at this tragic fate to die there all alone. Not in the comfort of my bed with family gathered round, but in this swirling pool of nothingness, I would be drowned. I cried, is this a penance? Some indebtedness I've owed? I cried for my deliverance till the tears no longer flowed. I dreamt of second chances and I prayed, Lord, grant me one. Then exhausted, I prayed, oh Lord, just let your will be done. I looked around for any sign of hope. To my dismay, if hope had once been there, then it had quietly slipped away. If hope had been there anywhere, it had quietly slipped away. Much later, in the dark, I sensed another presence near. I no longer had the strength to feel even a trace of fear. Then a gentle voice was saying, everything will be all right. And far off in the void, I swear I saw a ray of light. Strong hands lifted my body and then carried me along. And I heard this sweetest melody, a soft yet joyful song. Seemed to me an angel, by the power of God's good grace, had been dispatched to take me to my final resting place. I know little of that journey. There's not much that I recall. I just drifted in a dream where I could feel no pain at all. But what I can remember was the beauty of that sound and a tiny thought that whispered, maybe hope had stayed around. Yeah, a tiny thought that whispered, maybe hope had stayed around. You know, he was a foreigner, my angel in disguise, a stranger from another land, my countrymen despise. He saw my wounds were tended to, he saw that I was fed, he saw that while my body healed, I had a decent bed. He ensured my daily cleansing with a soft and fragrant soap. It was a stranger made the difference when I didn't have a hope. The kindness of a stranger when I didn't have a hope. Well, I've pretty much recovered from the trauma of those days, but the experience has altered my perspective in some ways. I'll make my own assessments on the nature of a man, and I'll not turn away but help a soul in need the best I can. I'll not shy from opportunities to serve where there's a need. There's always those without a home and hungry mouths to feed. I'll bring friendship to the lonely, and I'll comfort those who mourn, and have compassion for the innocents whose lives have been war-torn. I've learned hope is such a precious thing. It's a gift we can bestow, and if I can sow a seed of hope, I've faith that it will grow. And I may not reach a lot of folk, perhaps only a few, but I'll show those who think they have no hope, they really do. Yes, I'll show those who think they have no hope, they really do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. It's great, isn't it? Because we know that actually hope lies outside of this world, real hope, and the power to change our situation, circumstances, lies outside of the world altogether. So what we're going to do together, if you wouldn't mind, we need to need your cooperation. We've been collecting these boxes, bricks, they're like bricks of hope, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of them. Wherever we've gone, we've got Christians to write down their hopes on one of these bricks. So in a little pack on your chair, you should have one of these, flat packed. If you haven't got one, put your hand up, because Adam here is going to come round with them and dish them out. There's some people over here, Adam. There's some on the front row there. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's lovely. Over the back there, Adam, there's someone there. It's great. If you can make sure everyone's got one. So you'll see a flat pack brick of hope. And we'd like you to take this moment just to get a pen. You should find a pen in your bag as well. If you haven't got a pen, then put your hand up and we'll get you one, or share it with your neighbour. There's some spare bags and they've probably got pens in. What I'd like you to do, in the gap where it says, I am joyful in hope, I hope, dot, 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 I'd like you to write down a hope that you have. Maybe it's a personal hope, or a hope for your family, friends, neighbours, our country, our community, our world. You can go as small or as big as you like. But we'd like you to write down a hope that you have for you or for others. A hope you carry. You'd like it to be realized. You'd like this to come true. What is it you hope for? There's a doctor in America who leads the Harvard Medical School, and he's written a book last year called The Anatomy of Hope. Because he worked out, he's been doing this for many years now, that if people don't have hope, they literally die. He's observed his patients, that those that thought they were going to make a recovery, remarkably, did so much better, often did recover, for those who thought there was no hope. It's like hope is as essential for our life as the air we breathe or the food we eat. It's absolutely vital. We're made for hope. And if we don't think we've got hope, we literally give up. I think that's because we're made in the image of God. And he's the God of hope. And he's put hope in our hearts. And the hope is, we talk about hope as the joyful expectation of good. Yeah? The joyful expectation of good. That's what hope is. So as you're writing this down, I've got a good one here. Tell you what, that's a big hope. on this one. Somebody's written this down. So we're going to turn these in a moment just into prayers, because, you know, hopes can become prayers, can't they? And we're going to do this together as a church, and we're just going to pray. So if you've written down on your thing, you can make up the box of your brick if you want to. You don't have to, but you can if you like doing that sort of thing. Or leave it flat packed. Either way, we're going to pick them, collect them at the end and take them away with us. And I'll tell you what we're going to do with these in a minute. So, would you mind just holding your hope brick? And we're going to pray. And I'd like you to present this to God as I pray and say, this is what I hope for, God. I can't make it happen, but I know you can. So, is that right? Let's pray. Father God, we bring our hopes to you. You are the God of hope. You can do anything. And I pray that as we, your people, collect these up and give them to you, God, you will do more than we can possibly ask or imagine. That's what we're encouraged and we know to be true. So will you do it, God, for your glory and for the name and in the name and for the sake of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to collect all these bricks. And at Lark in the Park, on the second Wednesday of Lark in the Park, the 2nd of April, in the Big Top. April? Did I say April? A bit behind the times. August, I meant to say. 2nd of August, in the Big Top, we are going to create a huge installation tower of bricks from all over the borough, and we're going to be showing it off. So all these hopes is kind of like an expectation of good things. So if you'd like to come along, in fact, you're personally invited to come along to the Big Top at Lark in the Park on the 2nd of August at 8 p.m. for a very special finale of Joyful in Hope. And we've got some more drama. We've got some things we're going to do there. We're going to pray together as God's people that God will do what he's said he would do. So, is that all right? We're going to make a huge tower of hope. In a world where there is so much hopelessness, we want to stand out as a beacon for hope for the future. So, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? It's really good. Now, I want to tell you a little story. And 7 years ago, you might remember this, there were some Chilean miners trapped underground. You remember that? And 33 men there were. And they had this cave in and they couldn't get out. They were completely trapped. And it was going to be an incredible, it was going to be an incredibly difficult operation to try and get these men to the surface. 33 of them. It took them 69 days to rescue the first one. And it was, they flew in people from all over the world who offered to help get these men out from their cave-in. What was really interesting is that above ground, this scene started to develop. Because obviously the families were so desperate for news of their men underground that they didn't want to go home. So they stayed. They brought tents and they camped out, literally. And then, of course, the world's media descended on the scene and they added to the number, and people just flocked there. They had a 24/7 prayer room in this camp. They were praying literally round the clock for these men to be saved and brought to the surface. And they called this place Camp Hope. Camp Hope. That's the name they gave to it. This collection of caravans and tents. And as the days went by, and it became clear that there was a real possibility, however difficult, that these men would be rescued, the scene changed. And when the first guy came up, of course, it was like a carnival rather than a hopeful, sort of quite downplayed, sort of, you know, tense scene because they realized that they were going to get these men out. And there were these joyful scenes as they, as the men surfaced and were greeted above ground. I thought about that, Camp Hope, and I realized that actually that's the church. We are Camp Hope on the surface of this planet. We're the people who carry a message of hope. We steward the only message, actually, that can bring lasting hope to people, eternal hope. And so I want to share with you and just talk about some of the things that the church is doing in Bexley. Because now we're an organization that serves the schools of Bexley on your behalf, and along with lots of other denominations and churches of every kind all over Bexley. And I thought, you know what? We hardly have it, hardly ever hear some good news. I got a newspaper this week that my daughter bought me for my birthday, and it's called The Good Newspaper, and it's full of good news. She thought this is a brilliant idea. She thought, I like that, so I'm going to invest in it. So this newspaper arrived with every single report was good news. I thought on the way home, I should have brought it to show you. It's great. What a great idea. Because there's hardly ever any good news, is there? And especially when it comes to the church, how often do you hear news reports of good things happening done by the church? Hardly ever. And yet, we are holding together communities. We are engaged in vital work day in, day out, week after week, across not only our nation, but across the world. If you took the church out, it would be really bad news, wouldn't it? So I thought, what we did, well, we got some Cribs team members to go in various places around the borough, and you've got to try and work out where we are. Is that all right? So we went all over the Bez Bexley, all over the borough. Here's the first one. Where's Nicola? Well done. Danson Park, says somebody. You're absolutely right. This is the Charter Oak in Danson Park, made famous because under this oak tree, Lord Cornwallis signed the papers that made Bexley a municipal council in 1937 or something, 1939, somewhere around there. And it's become so famous that it's actually on the emblem of the borough, the famous oak tree. There's 20 oak trees in Bexley, different places, some here in Sidcup, as you know, and that's one of them. Very, very old trees. And it's in Danson Park that in a week's time, they'll be setting up their own festival called Spark in the Park, where the churches in Welling get together and they serve the community, just like we do in Sidcup for Lark in the Park. So they do. And hundreds of families come through their 9 days, I think it is. And it's just an amazing event. And every single year, they're going to give away food and drink and free activities for families, but they introduce people to Jesus. And every year, people get saved, get forgiven, get restored to hope. Isn't that beautiful? Well done, churches in Welling. Where's Jerry? I know you're there over there, Jerry, but where are you in the photo? Erith, well done. It's called the Fish Roundabout. And Jerry actually got into big trouble getting on this roundabout. Not only did he risk his life, but he was literally, he was on the roundabout trying to get off when an unmarked police car stopped at the roundabout. There was stream, there's lines of traffic, and this policeman got out and said, "Excuse me, hello, hello, hello. What are you doing here then? Is that right, Jerry?" And so that was quite a funny story that we laughed up, chuckled over for a while. Cold it was. There was snow on the ground when we took this picture, and you can see the actually sprinkles of snow on the grass there. Anyway, this is the Fish Roundabout. And of course, you know, Erith is one of the centres of the food banks in Bexley. There's four centres. You probably know this. And who's given generously to the, who's given anything to the food bank in Bexley? Yeah? Lots of you. Look at that. Look at that. Amazing. Look at that. That brilliant, isn't it? Do you know, over 5 years, the food banks have been going in four centres. One of them is based at Erith Baptist Church. And do you know, we have fed in this borough alone 16,000 people in 5 years. Stunned silence. Yeah, come on. Deserves a round of applause, doesn't it? I mean, who's doing that? It's the church doing that. It's the church actually, you know, digging into their pockets, buying food, putting, literally keeping body and soul together for many, many people. If it wasn't for them, those people would be absolutely desperate. Maybe not even with us right now. 16,000 people have been fed by the food bank in Bexley alone. It's amazing, isn't it? It's the church doing it. Where's Paul? Well, in corner. Well done. It's one of our imports, not Paul, the canon. All the way from Crimea. And here he is at Welling Corner. And at Welling, in Welling, Welling was one of those centres where they had a winter night shelter. Have you ever heard of the winter night shelter? Some of you were involved in the winter night shelter. Absolutely brilliant. Every single night from, I don't know, December right through to the, was it the end of January? Yeah. Every night, single men off the street were not only provided with a bed and somewhere warm, but given the evening meal and a cooked breakfast in the morning, and just befriended. You know, we've managed to house, how many people have we managed to house since that? Eight people. Eight of those men. The church has managed to find permanent housing for eight of those men who would today be on the street, were it not for that. Wow. Absolutely amazing. That deserves a round of applause as well, doesn't it? Hey? You see, brothers and sisters, we are the hope of the world. We are. The local church is the hope of the world. We need to know that that is true, and we need to stand up and say, actually, we're not going to let our voice be silenced or marginalised. We've got something to say, and we've got an important part to play in the wealth and the health and the prosperity and the peace of our community. Where's yours truly? Of course he is. Hope Community School, the first Christian free school in Bexley, and I have the privilege of leading the council at Hope School in Heathers, of course one of our staff team members there. And you know, it's just an amazing privilege to there in the middle of Footscray to resurrect a dream that Christians had 200 years ago of starting a school when there wasn't any school. It was the Christians that started educating our children, wasn't it? It was the church in this country that started educating people, children, to read and write. It was the church. And here we go. Here's an example of a church in Sidcup where Christians had this vision and built this place. It wasn't that building originally, but that was built a long time ago, as you know. It's a nice building. And just to house the local people, local children, to come and get an education. And here we are resurrecting that dream and bringing hope, literally, to 120 children and their families, soon to be 160 in September. It's just amazing, isn't it? What God can do through people. And it's just a great centre of the community. Okay, where's this is the lovely Nina. Where is she? Crayford. What's the name of the place? That very famous building in Crayford. Hall Place. Well done. Hall Place. I think it's Crayford, isn't it? You would cast it Crayford or Bexley? One of the two. It's on the border. Anyway, Hall Place, you're absolutely right. And where's Hannah? That definitely is Crayford. Just in case you were any doubt at all. This is the meadow. See the salt snow on the ground? And that's the River Cray there in the background. And they've got these weird sort of, not weird, I shouldn't say that. That sounds disparaging. Don't mean to be that. Interesting is the word, yeah. Art installations there in Crayford. Do you know, every year the Christians in Crayford, the churches run a festival And again, just invite people by the riverside there and give away free burgers and drinks and everything. And they create community in Crayford. There's some amazing things going on. Let me tell you a little story. There's a guy who lives on the street in Crayford. He's lived on the streets for years and years and years. Okay. And he decided to come into this church in Crayford called Acts 2. And he came into the church and he smelt really bad. Okay. Really, really bad. You wouldn't really want to sit near him. But they decided, after he'd gone, you know, they kind of thought afterwards, wow, what do we do? If he keeps coming back, what are we going to do? They decided that they would always give him a welcome. And they would never complain if he took more than his fair share of biscuits. And they decided to love this guy. So he did. They did. And sometimes some of them would take him home to their lunch for lunch. And they would allow him to use the bathroom. And they would burn his clothes and give him a new set of clothes. Because they were that bad. And this went on for months. He would keep coming. Every week he would come. He was a bit crazy. He said some weird stuff. But they kept loving this man. Just in, I think it was in May, April of this year, this guy was baptized by those Christians. And he said in his baptism, I'm here today because you love me. I found love in this church. He's still a little bit crazy, but less so. And he doesn't smell as much. But life has been transformed by the people of God, by the hope of the world, the church. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the church at its best. Loving people who are unlovely and actually just marginalized by society. It's just gorgeous. Okay, where's Carol? Oh, that's got you. That's got you stumped. You see, we've got so many nice places in Sidcup. You don't really want to go north of the borough, do you? Lesness, well done. Lesness Abbey. They've done it all up there. They've got these beehive things. And they've got a new visitor centre. It's well worth a visit, by the way. I love going to Lesness because it reminds me that the church has been around for a very long time. The Christians have been in this community for hundreds of years, like 800 and more years. And so it reminds me of that. And not far from Lesness Abbey, there's a beautiful thing going on in a church initiative started by Belvedere Baptist Church called Evergreen Care. Anyone involved in Evergreen Care at all? No. Well, Evergreen Care is just the most stunning initiative that's been started to help provide friendship and care and support for elderly people in this borough. They're now approaching like 40 staff working for them. It's absolutely amazing. They're reaching over 300 young old people every single week. And they provide a befriending service. They have a 24/7 helpline. They have a clean team. So when an old person goes into home and they need to come in and blitz the house, you know, make it ready for them, They'll go in and clean it like for days. They've got a gardening team. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, we know that social care is a big issue, isn't it, in our borough? It is the church who's standing up and saying, we're providing this. They get referrals like every single week. Social services are referring people to Evergreen Care because they basically haven't got the budget to could deal with it. And we're providing the care. They've got like over 50 befrienders, people who guarantee that every week they will call on an old person and sit with them and talk to them and befriend them or go shopping with them and do stuff for them. It's amazing. It's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, this is the church, the hope of the world, with people who have a heart for others, a love for people, and who are going to say, may you overflow with hope. That's what they're doing, overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love it. Okay, last couple. Number 8, where's Adam? He's here. Thamesmead, well done. Yeah, Thamesmead. And it's called the horse roundabout, that one, not the fish. And some great stuff going on in Thamesmead, absolutely amazing. And then number nine, where's number nine? Bexley Heath, well done, the clock tower. There's so many things I could tell you about what's going on. I mean, street pastors, school pastors. You know, just the things that are being started and we've adopted here by the church. I've got to tell you about the clock tower. That was opened in 1912. It's a great fanfare. They had a big carnival. And they erected this building in the hope. Literally, this is written on the inscription, on the hope that Bexley Heath has the best days to come. Little knowing that in 2 years, you know, we'd have the Great War. I mean, there's an irony there. But they wanted to put Bexley Heath on the map. Do you know, in Trinity Baptist Church, they started this amazing initiative called Cornerstone Recovery Through Christ, which I know some of you are involved in, like Wendy and others. And it's just absolutely brilliant. So many people have found hope through Jesus by going to Cornerstone. People whose lives have been addicted and here they are actually finding support and finding Christ. There was a man lying on the bench outside the bowling alley. And he literally feels a hand on his collar lifting him up. And he's in a right mess. You know, he's been an addict, had a drink problem for years. And lifts him up. And his voice, audible voice, tells him to go to the church over there. And he'll find people who can help him. What an amazing story. This guy walks over to Trinity Baptist, goes upstairs and finds this group. People who love Jesus, who are praying, who welcome him. And his life's been turned around. I mean, what a story. You won't get that in the press. We are the hope of the world. They've now spread, you know, they've got another centre on a Thursday at Albany Park Baptist Church. It's just stunning. And Simon and I have the privilege of going and supporting them and just loving it, what God is doing, the stories of hope and healing that God is bringing to people who's literally, they were giving up hope. That they would ever be able to kick habits, get out of their pornography or their addiction to gambling or whatever it is, you know, any kind of addiction. And it's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. That is stunning. We are the hope of the world, guys. God is doing something in our borough. And you may not be aware of it. Sometimes it's so easy to get, you know, I have the privilege of going around lots of churches, like probably nobody else in the borough, and seeing the church in action, and seeing what is happening. And it's just stunning. So I want to encourage you today. One of the things we reasons for coming this is actually to say, let's be joyful in hope. Because we have every reason to celebrate and to be thankful for what God is doing in and through his church in this borough. And you're part of that story. You're part of that picture, providing hope week in, week out, serving in all the ways you do in our community. So let's just pray. Father God, we just call out to you that you will multiply the good that's being done. You will grow all the initiatives that are taking place all over this borough. And we pray that you will have the glory, and that many people will find hope and meaning and purpose in their lives because of an encounter with Christians, that number will increase an amazing amount. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing some worship, shall we? Just sing to God. We've got a reason to be joyful, haven't we, today, to be thankful. We're going to sing a couple of songs together, and then we've got little drama which we'd like to perform for you before we finish. We are astounded when we think about how much you loved us, what you've given for our good. We give back to you our love, our money. We give back to you, Father, all that you've given us. Out of the abundance, we say it's all yours. take and use these gifts, use this church, use our lives, God, to reflect your goodness, to bring hope to others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Please sit down. Now I'm going to invite my friend Jerry, just before we do this drama, to come. One of the things we didn't mention in that little... And we didn't mention everything. You know, I just showed you 9 pictures, right, of different parts of the borough. But we didn't show all of it. And one of the things we failed to mention was this is a little organisation called Cribs.
Yes.
And we're involved on your behalf in so many schools in the borough. There are 60 primary schools, and we've been in all of them. And there are 16 secondary schools, and we've been in all of those as well. But we want to do more, and we believe we're going to do more in the future. So this is my friend Jerry. And some of you know him well. He's lived in Sidcup for 1 or 2 years. Is that right, Jerry? And you didn't always used to do this, did you?
Well, do you know what, Paul?
Do you want to... Here's a microphone, okay. Actually. Is it on? Yeah. That's it.
Am I on?
Yeah. Well, I used to live in County Gate, New Elton. Didn't I? So, I don't know if you know where that is.
I guess there's somebody famous who lives in County Gate, well, near Elton. Is
David
that right?
David and Ellie Cole, actually.
Oh, really? Wow, you're them as neighbours.
And it's, well, nearly, yeah.
Wow.
So we were...
What a blessing, eh?
It was a blessing. So right on the border of actually Greenwich and Bexley. Yeah, but I've lived in the Sidcup area all my life. And it actually is a great privilege to be here this morning because I know a lot of faces in this church. And probably second only to the church that I go to, this would probably be the church where I would say I know the most faces. So it's great. Even one or two over there.
Yeah. So you didn't used to work in...
No, I used to work,
What did you used to do before you joined Cribs?
Before I worked for Cribs, I used to work in the City of London in the Lloyd's insurance market. Yes, over 36 years.
Wow.
So that's a bit different
to working with,
yeah,
with Cribs.
Very different.
And how would you rate the two? I mean, how do you draw a comparison between working in Lloyd's of London?
Well, there's more money at Cribs.
That huge building. And all awash with money and all working with Cribs. I mean, how did that come about?
Not sure how long we got, but it's very different. It's a very, very different way of living. Having sort of travelled up to London for 36 years on the same train and on the same train coming home almost. And working with, you know, businessmen and women from all over the world. And it's a very, very different place to be. But about 7 years ago, I gave up all of that.
Yeah.
And it was this time, 7 years ago, that I gave up all of that. Not quite knowing what I was going to do next, I'll be honest with you. I remember telling Rachel over there, that I sort of stopped working in the Lloyd's insurance market, and quite what I would do next, well, it was up to God, really. But this young man bought me a cup of coffee. Lots of things happen over coffee, don't they? And he said, have you ever considered working with children? Because we did a lot of stuff in our own church, working with kids. And he said, have you considered it? And actually, the big question he posed to me was actually, what is it you get up for in the morning? And obviously, for 36 years, it was working in London. But what actually is it you get up for in the morning? So I had to do a lot of soul searching. And so Gordon said to me, look, think about it, but why don't you come and sort of shadow one or two of us, you know, within the Cribs family. And the Cribs family, you know, 7 years ago was a lot smaller than it is now. And so I did that. We had a big blue bus. Who knows about the big blue bus that we had, that we took into lots of schools? So I kind of did a bit of volunteering on the big blue bus, which was absolutely brilliant. And then I shadowed Gordon in schools. Gordon was doing a lot of teaching RE to primary school children in a way that I'd never, ever seen before. It was absolutely amazing. And in fact, I could have been one of those children, Gordon, and just sat there and listened, because I thought, this is the way... Well, actually, this is the way that we should be doing it, and we are doing it. And so children from the age of 4, 5, up to 11, basically get to hear the Christian message through our teaching. You know, from creation right through to resurrection, they get all of it. And it is incredible. And one of the other things that we start, we started 5 years ago was something called Boys Noise, which is what I head up, which is an intervention program for boys who, let's just say, find school a bit more challenging. And in fact, who found school difficult when they were little? Anyone here? George. Simon. Yeah. So we work along boys that just find it difficult. They just find it difficult to settle. There are emotional issues going on with them. There are boys that don't have good male role models in their lives. And we go in, we have the privilege of working with some of these boys selected by schools, and we do small group mentoring work. Adam's one of my Boys Noise workers, and he's absolutely brilliant, I have to say. And we make a difference, Gordon. We actually make a difference. And in fact, just yesterday evening at Lark in the Park, it was a great privilege to see a number of boys that we work with from a local primary school. And they came up and ran up and gave us big hugs, and the mums were there as well. And one mum came up to me and she said, "Jerry, do you know what? For my boy, you have helped him so much. And this was a challenging boy after that. But you've turned his life upside down. And he's year five now. We started working with him when he was in reception."
Wow.
And he's going to year five. And there were two other boys that I've worked with their mum, who I'd not met before. And I had to introduce myself, because you don't want children going up in the mum's eyes, complete strangers, and sort of giving them hugs. So I said to this mum, "Oh, I've worked with your boys." And she said, "I know. They tell me all about it." So it is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being able to make a difference.
So
and we're seeing that over the borough. We work in schools in Thamesmead. We work in schools in Bexley, Sidcup, right across the borough, bringing sort of hope to boys that actually haven't had a lot of hope.
Yeah, so good. Can I ask you, church, if you just join me to pray just for a moment? Is that all right? Because the money you give to Cribs goes to support people like this man, who I know is just a fantastic role model. I've known Jerry for years. We've worked together in kids' teams, and he's so full of love, and he's so gentle, and it's beautiful to watch children absolutely gravitate to this man, because he carries something. He carries the Spirit of God, for one thing. And he's full of love. So should we just pray? Is that all right? Father, we thank you for raising up Cribs, for its place in the education scene in Bexley, for the favour you've given us to be able to go into so many schools and teach so many thousands of children. 60,000 children since 1995, rather, have heard the gospel, seen it performed, some of them year after year after year. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for what you're doing through Jerry and the Boys Noise team. And we pray blessing on it, God, that you will prosper it, you will continue to provide for us, and that we will be able to advance your work in the lives of children. We will be a source of hope to thousands more, we pray. And that lives will be turned around. Families will come to know you because of our engagement with their children. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. Now, we wanted to wrap up today with a little bit of a drama, which we've been performing in schools. It's really powerful. Get ready for this. And we thought it'd be really nice to get some people. So if you've got a little piece of paper, you're on. And so we've got Wendy here. I think we've got Dan and Dana. And we've got Dave. So they're going to come out. They're going to stand in a line up here.
Excuse me, I'm not Andy's wife.
I'm sorry, did I call you Wendy? I called you Wendy, didn't I? I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that. Oh, I'm sorry. It's definitely Irene as well, isn't it? I'm so really sorry, Irene. She's a very forgiving lady, thankfully.
And then we've got Peter
Okay, so we haven't rehearsed this, obviously.
As we talk, just keep looking at the congregation. Right? Don't look up.
I think it's on. Just say the first bit. That's good.
Hi there, I'm Dan. I'm going through a tough experience applying for jobs and being rejected. I'm really struggling with some negative feedback I've received.
Hiya, I'm Faith. I guess I'm a typical 15-year-old girl who loves social media. I posted a picture of myself on my Instagram page, and another one of my so-called friends has posted some really negative and hurtful comments about it.
Morning. I'm Peter. I'm really worried about the state of the neighbourhood and the way the standards have declined. Just lately, I've been receiving some harassment.
Hello, everyone. I'm Elaine. Yes, three people in one morning. Oh. I've had some health issues, not wondering for my surprise. And have not been very well lately. I've been having some tests at the hospital, and it's all very worrying, not knowing exactly what's wrong.
Hello. I'm Despair. Yes. And I come from, well, you don't need to know where I come from, but I've been around a very long time, and I get about all over the place, yes, doing what I do. And what I do incredibly well. You see, I'm that terribly helpful voice that you get in your head that helps you get things absolutely straight in your mind. You know, when you think things like, I'm too old or too young to accomplish anything, or I don't have any talent for this particular job, or I'm not good looking or even nice enough for anybody to like me. Well, when you hear voices like that, that'll be me. Oh, yes. And I'll be quietly reassuring you that you're absolutely right. You see, it's my job to make sure that you people don't go getting your hopes up too high, if at all. You see, I hate hope.
I'm Hope. And I come from a good place. And it's really important that you see and understand who Despair really is. He's a liar and a thief. His only intentions are to tell you untruths about you, to diminish you, to rob you of your dreams, and to undermine all of your plans. His true goals are to see that you live your life with as little enjoyment as possible. Now, I'm Hope, and I'm on your side, always. Keep me with you, and your lives can be transformed. Think of me often.
I'm just trying to get on. Put myself out there and make a success of my life. Just had the call after my second interview the other week. Yet another failure. It's another case of not enough experience. How are you supposed to get any experience in that particular field when they won't give you a job in that field? It's an absolute nightmare. They told me that I didn't demonstrate that I was able to lead a diverse team of people. Said that none of my answers had a sound grasp of the issues. I thought that was a bit harsh, really. It's just so hard. Maybe they are right. Maybe I am aiming too high.
Yes, you know they're right, Dan, really. Don't you? You mustn't go trying to kid yourself. I mean, once they get to know the real Dan, you'll be out on your ear. I mean, you're very transparent. They'll see right through you. I think the best thing is to do lower your expectations. You know it makes sense. I mean, let's face it, Dan, some of those things you write in those job applications, even you don't believe them, do you? And you do struggle to get on with your work colleagues. I'm sorry, Dan, but there's not a lot of hope.
No matter your past, you have the abilities to create your tomorrow. God says, I know the plans I have for you. And they are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. His intentions for you are good, and he knows what you need. So have confidence in who you are, in your abilities. Hold on to hope.
I love connecting with all my friends. But right now, I'm pretty hurt and angry because of what one of my so-called friends has done. They've been dishing out some unkind dirt about me. I liked that picture of me. I thought she really liked me. I don't know what I've done for her to do this.
Don't you, Faith? Don't you really? I think if you thought long and hard enough about it, you'd figure it out. Faith, bottom line is, she thinks she's better than you. Perhaps she's right. Tell you what, you should give as good as you get. Yes, she's forcing you to retaliate. If you don't fight back, all of your friends will think it's true what she's saying. Best thing you can do is to dish some dirt on her. Better still, dish some dirt on the lot of them. All of your friendships, they are a bit hopeless, aren't they?
Faith. You are a work of art. You are God's masterpiece. You're his daughter. You're a beautiful and unique creation, designed to be only you. And no matter what anyone else says about you, Faith, what God says really matters. What God says really matters. And he loves you. And he is for you.
You know, I've lived in my house for 38 years and never had problems like this. My noisy neighbours are being extremely inconsiderate. They play loud music late into the night and are constantly shouting at each other. I find it very disturbing. I even wrote them a note to say how upset I was, but they clearly don't want any contact with me. I've received no reply whatsoever. I have to tell you, I'm feeling extremely anxious about it all.
Well, well, Peter. I'm sorry to say, that's just how things are nowadays. I mean, neighbours don't really care for each other or have any respect for each other these days, do they? No, it's just all about themselves. Yes. No, you remember, though, don't you, Peter? Back in the day, people were a lot friendlier then, weren't they? But sadly, this is the future. And this is how it's going to be from here on in. Best get used to it. Sorry, no hope.
Having hope will give you courage, Peter. This is hard. But you know, trials like these develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And with that strength of character, Peter, you can keep on loving. Because love never fails. And with this love, maybe you can find new ways to show love to these new neighbours of yours.
Hello, Dorothy. It's me, Elaine. How are you? Not very well, actually. I went for those tests at the hospital. I have been in quite a lot of pain today. Should have the results next week. It is a worry, yes. I can't stop thinking about it. It's not knowing that's the worst of it. I haven't been sleeping well at all. What do you suggest? Yes, I tried that, but it didn't seem to help. Any other suggestions?
Oh dear, Elaine. Well, doesn't sound very good, does it? No, I can't help but feel that Must be something pretty bad for you to be in all that discomfort. And let's face it, I don't think this friend of yours is going to be much help to you, really, is she? Now, I think best thing you can do, Elaine, is start planning for the worst. Yes. I'm afraid there really is very little hope. Sorry.
Don't listen, Elaine. There's always hope. I'm always here. Living with uncertainty is hard, but constant worrying, that will zap your emotional energy and send your anxiety level soaring. Instead of worrying, pray. Let praises and petitions turn your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, of everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's amazing what happens when we let Jesus get rid of worry from the centre of our lives.
Oh, Elaine, please don't go getting your hopes up. What happens if it all goes pear-shaped and it turns out to be really bad news?
The scriptures are full of the promises of hopes being realised. It says that God is our hope, so we should rely on him, for he is our hope and our shield and our strength. So, Father God, let your unfailing love surround and fill us with your hope, so that we may know you. Now, we can choose to listen to the voice of despair, or we can choose to listen to the voice of hope. But what you must understand is that there is a choice. Now, despair, he leads nowhere. But if you listen to hope, you'll find that it will yield many wonderful blessings for your life. Choose well.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Hope is a choice. Funny, anyone here ever heard those voices at all? Anything like that in your head? Isn't it funny? How the soundtrack, you know, of when we're going to make a call, a decision about something, or we're facing some challenging situations, and we get to choose, don't we, whether we listen to the voice. You know, the enemy's tactic has always been? You know what he did in the Garden of Eden? That's his tactic. He just wants to talk to you. And his voice is despair. His voice is diminish you. That's what he does. He's just throw doubt on God and his goodness. That's all he does. Accuse you of doing wrong things or telling you you've done it, you've blown it. There's no hope. That's his voice. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. So may we today, as carriers of hope, have an injection of hope into our lives by choosing that voice, the voice of hope that says, I'm going to believe the best. I'm going to hold on to God's promises. I'm not going to give in to the sense of failure or despair. I'm going to go for it because God says it, and it must be true. And I'm going to believe for me, for my situation, that God knows, and he's got it all in his care. So let's do that this week. We're going to wrap up. And thanks so much for your attention. Should we sing that last song, you know, God of Grace? That was good. Beautiful, wasn't it? Love that. So if you're able to, let's sing that together as we're going to wrap up today and ask God's blessing on all of us, and that we will be carriers of hope to our world. And so let's do that before. Let's pray. We pray, Father, particularly in this season of Lark in the Park, that we will be, as we get involved in this amazing event, that we will be such reasons for people to be thankful, because we carry hope, a voice of hope into their situations. God, bless this event. Bless the children's work, the youth work, the contact with parents and families across these next 16 days at Lark in the Park. Father, we pray for many good things to happen and that people will find hope this season, this summer, at Sidcup Place, God. And that this church and other churches in this area will be added to because people get saved and healed and have encounters with you, a good God. We pray that many times over, God. So ask your blessing on Sidcup Baptist Church and on the meeting on Wednesday and on all that's going on in this life of this church right now. God, I pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.